This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:06 and we are talking about floods, and you would have seen it by now. Yesterday in Subang, a few cars were swept away along Jalan Pesiaran Kewajipan. Subang Jaya OCPD Assistant Commissioner Ristikin Satiman said that the drain system is unable to cope with the sudden deluge of rainwater.
Yeah, and yesterday was heavy rains.
Throughout the whole day. Even.
Yeah, throughout the whole day. And it's not the first time that the drain systems could not cope, because floods have been an issue for us for a while now. And sometimes they're devastating because they damage homes, cars and properties, and they also displace people.
Yeah, we should be, you would have thought we'd be knowing that this is going to happen. This is the second wettest country in the world. and you would have thought we'd be able to work something out. But Kuala Lumpur in particular just keeps growing and growing. The amount of cemented, concreted area increases. We lose areas of natural drainage, so that the drains have to carry that load. And we at Evening Edition have been doing some sums. Not us three, because we're numerically illiterate, but one of our producers is a mathematician. And so we're working out that for instance, back when figures exist for 2013, in a four-month period, the Klang Valley experienced what is called 7,000 millimeters of rain. That's a heavy downpour, and we calculate that would be the equivalent to 5,600 Olympic-sized swimming pools.
5,600?
Yeah, and each swimming pool is 50 meters long, of course. And there have been, obviously, mitigation works that have been put in. Most famously, we have the Smart Tunnel, which is supposed to be able to carry, I think it's 35% of the flood risk in the Klang Valley. I'm not entirely sure what that means, but we have calculated that in one weekend, it successfully accommodated and diverted 3.5 million cubic meters of water, which is 500,000 more than its regular capacity. So that 3.5 million, that in itself is equivalent to 1,400 Olympic-sized swimming pools. And you have to bear in mind that, you know, rainfall here usually happens over, let's say, an hour.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly heavy. It's not sustained through the day. It's just one downpour, and that water has to go somewhere fast.
And as the people in Subang Jaya have learned, they need some kind of system as well, because obviously it cannot cope with the amount of rain that happened yesterday. And I don't know, that probably requires a lot of costs on the government side.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was just reading up on this, and it turns out that a lot of us don't happen to have any sort of flood coverage when it comes to our cars or our properties. And that is quite surprising, right? Given that, you know, whenever we do see just some flooding or any sort of, that area looks a bit, looks a bit like a pond, we still do just try to drive through it, or we just hope for the best and maybe make a U-turn somewhere. So that is quite surprising, right, that we don't consider getting that as part of the package. Or sometimes, absolutely, for myself, it is the idea that it's already part of your car insurance, for example. So what recourse do you have if you do encounter this situation where your car gets swept away by floods? The question also is, will your insurance cover such an event? So the guys at Cruise Control, our show that's all about cars, addressed this question back in one of their episodes.
So now what happened is, I contacted an insurance company, a friend of mine who's working in an insurance company. I said, okay, listen, I don't have my policy. And of course, he gave me, you know, a 5-minute lecture. I said, listen, tell me exactly what can they claim or cannot claim in a situation like this. So of course, there's a thing called the peril, inclusion of special perils. If you drive and your car gets into a flood, which means loss or damage of your car caused by flood, typhoon, hurricane, storm, tempest, volcano eruptions, earthquake, landslide, landslip, sinking of soil, earth, and other conclusions of nature, not covered unless you buy extra cover. And buying that extra cover, nobody talks to their insurance agent about it. Because why? if you ask the insurance agent, it's not like an extra 10 ringgit or 20 ringgit. And even if it was, a lot of people say, I don't want to pay for that.
It doesn't happen that often here.
Exactly.
Evidence shows otherwise.
And you know, when it rains, I won't go out and things like that. Can you imagine now, you're driving a $50,000 Japanese car, a car worth $50,000, maybe it's 4 years old or whatever, and you still have a loan on it. And something like this happens, to change your engine and gearbox alone will be about 25, 30,000. And it's cash.
Mm.
If you're driving such a car, there's a good chance you don't have that kind of cash sitting around. Mm-hmm. So what do? When you go to the workshop, you start arguing with the mechanic. Now, the mechanic is, I mean, just if he says, okay, friend, I want to help you, no labor charge. He's still got to buy the parts. Yep. And the parts might be almost three-quarter the price.
Yep.
So you can't argue with the mechanic. You go to the insurance company, you start banging on your table, say, listen, you did not buy the cover. I can't do anything about it. So this is an ongoing problem. So if you know you're living in Klang Valley, for example, when you renew your insurance, think about it. Money out right now, but in the long run, you're not going to have any headache because you know Klang Valley is going to get flooded a year from now.
At some point, yeah.
Exactly.
So that was Daniel Fernandez from Cruise Control. You can download the podcast by searching the title Keeping Cars Afloat During Floods. You can find that on Spotify or on the BFM app. And, you know, when trying to figure out who might also be behind why toilet, I'm heading to thoughts about toilets, but, you know, why are roads floods? Because it is also essentially about architecture here, right? Part of the conversation has to be about the design. It has to be about the kinds of materials that we use. So one article posits that, you know, it could be attributed to developers and contractors. They do have a lot of information on their hands because they, when they are about to plan and build a certain place, they are given a 100-year record of floods by local councils. So when this happens, sometimes it could be because they're using materials where they are water impermeable and surfaces, water impermeable materials and surfaces that includes things like tarmac. And it could also sometimes be just poor maintenance. The clogged drainage channels that usually is the reason behind why we have floods.
We've been losing, we are always consistently losing natural drainage. Trees and the ground absorb water slowly over time. Without that, you just get, it just runs off immediately.
Mm.
And having your car washed away is awful, but I kind of feel some sympathy in a way for the drainage. The people who design the drainage, because it's just not possible to deal with this kind of excess.
So on that note, we do have a message here from Tony that reads, our drains cannot cope with the volume of water because it's always clogged up with rubbish. Our DID engineers must think further on this usual flood-prone areas. If you have been affected by the floods or floods in general before, you can let us know your experiences, how you dealt with that. Call us at 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Ayman and Cam. Now heading back to our conversation about flooding in the city. Of course, this is in line with what we saw yesterday. A few cars were swept away in Subang along Jalan Pesiaran Kewajipan. So we're going to dive a bit in depth into the issue. We're now crossing over to town planner Ihsan Zainal Mokhtar. He's the president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. Professor, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you. Anyway, I'm not a professor.
Apologies. Well, you do have expertise in this area. So could you perhaps explain to us how exactly flash floods occur in our cities and why they just keep happening?
Okay, basically when the rainfall exceeds what is normally expected, you know, it's like you expect heavy rainfall, but the one that occurred yesterday is exceptionally more than normal, if you like, and partly it's due to poor maintenance. You know, when from the road, you have an outlet that goes into the bigger drain, and more often than not, this outlet's clogged. And as a result, the water do not have time to flow out into the main drain. So that's one of the reasons. And I think the extreme rainfall yesterday, while many might not agree, is a result of climate change.
Hmm.
Mm.
So what are our existing mechanisms that we're using to prevent floods at the moment? Would you say they are efficient or not efficient?
Okay, we should have a short-term, mid-term, and long-term plan. So I think in the immediate term, the city should really make more efforts to ensure that the drains are not clogged. The public has a role to ensure as well that, you know, you don't throw rubbish indiscriminately. So it's maintenance. The short form is maintenance and attitude of city folks. The midterm, we have to look at the overall plans of the city. In fact, you know, the smart tunnel was one of the efforts that was put in place. We are KL in the Klang Valley. We are a natural lowland area, if you like. You know, so the water would be going when there's a heavy rainfall upstream or within the city. Naturally, there will be a lot. Lots of water on the road, and unfortunately, like I said, you know, if we don't maintain it well, and the city being the city, is that we have a lot of areas that are where water actually flows on the road. The surface are not permeable, so we do need to protect our green areas. We have to ensure that the city has more sustainable practices, including ensuring that we keep our green. Maybe we have to use technology where the road is semi-permeable, more footpath, parking areas, you know, are made of materials that are also semi-permeable to absorb the rainwater like a sponge. So these are the things that we do need to do for KL for it not to recur. But even under the best of circumstances, that possibility of it occurring again with unusual amount of rain falling on the streets is very much possible.
Well, following on from that, just wanted to ask, get more of a deep dive. So given the short-term, long-term stance that we should take and the geology and the geography of the Klang Valley, you've mentioned a few mitigation ideas about permeable roads, etc. Are there any kind of like civil engineering projects that could be undertaken to help in a really grand scale?
Well, I think of immediate... something that we can do is can improve the drainage system, the current drainage system. We have to ensure that the water flow is better, faster. It gets from the roads into the drains and the drains into the bigger storage area, what we call the retention pond and detention pond. And in some cities, the main drains are also... not made completely from concrete, meaning there are many parts of the drainage system which is from the earth. It's very permeable, it becomes part of the landscape and water can flow into it. And we have areas that we can actually store the water temporarily. So this is something that we can do, which is immediate, which is not something that it's out of this world technology. It can be done. It can be immediate, meaning more areas for immediate storage of the current runoff before you make it flow back into the main drains. This can be done.
So you mentioned climate change earlier, and is that something that's already considered as a factor? Is that something we are preemptively planning when it comes to, preemptively including into our plans when it comes to town planning or when it comes to infrastructures we're planning to build in the city?
Yes, we should. There are already plans, for example, throughout the development in KL, where each development is to think of areas that where water can be retained before it goes into the main drain. Doesn't matter if it's a small development, a big development, what is called a retention pond, a temporary area where water is, can be retained. We talk about small parks within development, small parks within apartments that can actually retain water. So these areas are not wasted because they can be used for pocket parks. You know, so this is done in Denmark, it's done in a lot of cities, and this is considering the fact that you will expect that amount of rain to happen, unexpected amount. Once if climate change, or not say if it happens, it's already happening. You have to consider this inconsistent weather pattern that will create this storm. So yes, we have factored that into planning. But we need to do more. We need really to make the city less hot, make the surface more permeable, have more retention areas, more double usage of spaces. All these have to be done.
You say quite often we should, and the ideas that you're talking about with retention ponds, etc., these take up space, and space has value.
That's right.
Would you be talking about the need to legislate and compel developers to build with these things in mind?
Yes. Yes, we do. Meaning that the newer developments and the newer buildings would really have to take into consideration. For example, in the long term, the buildings should be sustainably designed, you know, using less energy. That's one aspect. That's the overall long-term plan. You want to make the city less hot or produce less heat, and you would have to compel by law to insist that the buildings take up steps to ensure that extra rainfall will be stored somewhere. Within the design, you know, you can go underground first, you can have storage areas at the car park levels, things like they do with the smart tunnel.
Ihsan, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
You're most welcome.
That was town planner Ihsan Zainal Mokhtar, president of the Malaysian Institute of Planners. If you have any thoughts about flood management in the city, let us know. 7733 2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
We are also talking about flash floods in in our cities. You know, we were learning from our guest earlier, from a town planner, about how we can better design our cities to make them more effective against floods. So we have been receiving some messages about that as well. We do have this from Michael, who says, global warming, we will have more rain. Why is there no upgrade of our infrastructure? We should buy that insurance cover now. And along that same thought, Ravin says, time to make flood coverage included in motor policies automatically as the premium cost will drop. Currently, because it is optional, insurance companies assumes a high risk whenever someone wants in.
Well, we've looked at how much is, Ayman, a flood cover cost?
Well, there's an article from 2017. It's about 0.5% of the value of the car, so it can be, you know, something up to 500 ringgit. But I think over time, the insurance companies have tried to make it a more affordable or attractive package, so they're doing it at about 0.25% of the value of the car.
I think that these insurance companies, they bring a model which they've invented in Europe and the States. Mm. And so they say, okay, flood risk, etc., you have to pay extra. And then these companies expand to other territories which have other climactic experiences.
Yeah, tornado coverage.
Yeah. But well, here, I mean, flooding is such a basic. I agree. I think that it should be just in the premium.
And we do have other thoughts coming in about flood management. This one as a voice note from Lee.
Personally, I think DID should rely more on non-structural solutions instead of structural solutions. For example, instead of doing more drainage as well as channeling all the flood water when it rains, they should do more maybe flood water pond, rain garden, for example, or even they should focus more on doing more flood-prone parks, dual-use park, which when it's dry, it can serve the purpose as a public park, and when it's rainy, it can be flooded to slowly replenish even the groundwater aquifer. And it's also making our city more amphibious. Singapore is already doing this at the Bishan Ang Mo Kio Park. And I think Malaysia has a lot to learn in terms of doing using non-structural solutions to solve all these flash flood issues in Kuala Lumpur.
Lee, thanks so much for sending that in. And those were some pretty good ideas.
Well, which followed on actually from our town planner, Isan, the town planner. He mentioned some of these as well. I think, I mean, as long as the ideas that he's talking about there follow the laws of gravity, because water has to go downhill. So as long as gravity is used there, and also safety. I mean, if he's talking about drainage areas, which are parks, etc., and open one moment and then filled with water the next, you know, they've got to have safety there. People can't just go and drown in there. Amphibious? Oh, okay. I never thought of that.
As long as there are still green areas, I'm all up for it.
Yeah.
So keep those thoughts coming. If you have any about flat management or, you know, about postal wars at 7733 2900, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.